show. Everyone's expecting you. If you know them well, you know. Do as I say, not as I do. Welcome, friends, you know. Unity in all that we do. It isn't what you know. Just do as you're expected.
Operation Encore is a 501c nonprofit that is helping veterans turn into rock stars every single day. You can learn more about what Operation Encore is doing by going over to their website at www.operationencore.org. That is www.operationencore.org. If you can give them a hand, just click that little donate button or follow all of their social medias and learn exactly what they are doing to change the lives of our veterans every single day. Hey, welcome everybody. This is Spirits and Stories with Donald Dunn. Yeah, I'm still trying to get used to the new name, everybody, so forgive me. But today we have got a smoking show. Excuse the pun, but I think we will enjoy and learn a lot about today. Today is going to be talking about a form of therapy. We're going to have David Albin from Firewalk Productions on. Let's get into the main part of his bio. Dave tried alcohol at the age of 11. By the time he was 14, he was experimenting with hard drugs. Grossly addicted to drugs and alcohol, he joined AA some 20 years later in June 1988. This is when Dave was introduced to the personal development industry. He attended a seminar with Tony Robbins in 1995 where he did his first firewalk. That's right. That is what we are going to be talking about today, is firewalking. Let's bring on Dave Albin. Hey, how's it going, man?
What a mouthful, bro. I mean, that's unbelievable. You. We're going to be talking about what?
Exactly. I love it, man. When I came across your bio, that's exactly what I said. I said, "Do what?
What's wrong with this guy, man?" You know, no, but thank you, man. I appreciate it, Donald. I really do. You guys who host out there, man, you do all the work and all the heavy lifting, and all I have to do is come in here and, you know, run my pie hole. So thanks for having me, man.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, man, I enjoy it. You know, this show started under a different name, Two Drunk Dudes in the Gun Room, and it slowly became my therapy. And now that we have grown into season three, this last couple weeks have changed the name. Yeah. Something a little bit more sponsor friendly and makes a little bit more sense since my co-host.
What's wrong with two drunk guys in a gun room? I mean, what could go wrong, Donald?
Well, I can tell you, I can send you a list of emails and comments that I get daily.
I'm sure a corporate sponsor is going, we'd really love to help. And there must be something, two drunk guys in a gun room. Here I've been sober for, 35 years. So I get the funny side of that. That's for sure. I love it.
Yeah, man. So why don't we start off by telling everybody a little bit about your background, man? How did this all come about?
Oh, shit. You know, the joking answer to that is I take a line from Bugs Bunny. You know, I took that left-hand turn at Albuquerque, right? So it kind of came from there. It started young, Donald. I mean, you know, my career and my path, it was all, I believe, all divinely laid out. And a couple of months before I was born, my biological father, who was a pilot in Korea, he had hit his head. He did something. We don't really know. I never found out the specifics of it, but he hit his head, hurt his head, and saved his life to put a plate in his head. Well, there was a lot of pain with that. And he used to complain to mom all the time, "Hey, I don't know how much longer I can take this." So literally 2 months before I was born, he turned to mom and said, "Hey, I'm going to the grocery store." We never saw or heard from him again. Wow. So when I was born to a single mom. So she already had two boys from another marriage. We had a cousin, and we were all living in a one-bedroom apartment with my grandmother. So there were six of us. Well, mom came out of the greatest generation that's ever walked the planet, right? I'm talking about the ones that went through World War II, the ones who went through the Great Depression. And so mom was very resourceful. Hard work was not a bad word to them. They had to, right? A lot of people feel to realize that in World War II, while all the men were off fighting the war, the women were home doing what? Twiddling their thumbs?
Yeah.
No, not exactly. Right? They did everything, man. Yeah. They built jeeps and tanks and munitions. Yep. And my mom was working for McDonnell Douglas. She was known as Rosie the Riveter. She built airplanes, man. She's out on the wing driving rivets, man. So,
wow.
Right? They did it all. So mom was working at the Roosevelt Hotel in Hollywood, where we lived. And, you know, she worked her ass off. She would take every shift she could because she had 6 mouths to feed. And by the time I was 5, she realized she couldn't do it anymore. So she went to her oldest sister, Pat, and said, hey, Pat, would you adopt David? And they agreed. So her and her husband, Bob Albin, who's been my dad, you know, my whole life, they adopted me at 5. And everything was completely freaking awesome. Dad was a career military, right? Officer, mm-hmm. highly decorated. He was National Guard and regular Army. And so we had a nice house. We lived in a nice place in Long Beach, California. We went camping. You know, I was the only one. I was the only child, right? But I don't think my mom that raised me could have any kids. So it worked out well. Mm-hmm. Well, first day of summer, 1964. That very first day, man, you're up, you're a kid, it's summertime, it's party time, you know, ride your bikes, go to the beach, go surfing, do all the stuff that you do in Southern Cal. And so mom came into the TV room and she said, David, come in the kitchen for a minute, your dad and I need to speak with you. So I go in and I sit down, and my dad's on this side, my mom's on this side, and she puts her hand on my hand, and with tears in her eyes, she looks at me and she says, David, what we need to tell you is we're not your parents.
Are you ready to experience the power of military community right from the comfort of your living room? Introducing Military United Podcast Streams, now available on the Roku channel. Get ready to dive into a world of incredible stories, inspiring discussions, and the best entertainment the military community has to offer. With our veteran podcast host, you'll gain insights into the experiences that have shaped our heroes. And that's not all. We've got a lineup of talented veteran musicians playing rock, country, and more. Get ready to rock out with these incredible artists who have served our country and are now ready to entertain you with their soulful tunes. But wait, there's more. We've also got veteran comedians who will have you in stitches with their hilarious and relatable stories. Laughter is the best medicine, and these brave men and women know how to deliver it. So gather your loved ones, grab some popcorn, and prepare for an unforgettable journey into the world of military podcasts, music, and comedy. With Military United Podcast Streams now on Roku, you can access all this incredible content with just a few clicks of a button. Military United Podcast Streams on Roku channel. It's time to honor, entertain, and celebrate the incredible men and women who have served our country. Join us today and experience the power of the military community like never before.
Well, what? What does that mean? What do you mean you're not my parents? Of course you're my parents. Yeah. I'm 11, right? I can't really process this. Well, that's like walking somebody outside and saying, yeah, see the sky? It's not really blue. Really? It looks pretty blue to me.
Yep.
So it's pretty confusing. In fact, mom went on to say, she said, by the way, your Aunt Dean? Yeah. She's actually your biological mother. And I'm like, I don't even like her. You know? And the reason I didn't is because anytime she was around me, she wanted to be around me. She right. wanted to sit next to me. She wanted to hold me. She wanted to hug me. She wanted to kiss me. And it was never inappropriate. It was just weird. Right. Well, now I know why, obviously, right? I get it. I was her son.
Yep.
And so anytime she would be, if she could, you know, be around me, she wanted to, you know what I mean? She wanted to love on me. And which right. was, there's no problem with that, right? So shortly after they told me this, like within a couple of weeks, both of them started drinking. Bob and Pat Albin both started drinking. And, you know, it just went, my whole life just took a turn, man. Boom. This perfect lifestyle got shitty real fast. And Bob was a very mean drunk. He was not a nice guy at all. All kinds of things started coming up. He was getting, you know, back then, this was 64. Yeah. Sorry, my German Shepherd's back here. He's grunting, he's moving, stretching. And so anyway, it just got ugly is all I can tell you.
Yeah.
And so one day they went to the grocery store. Back in those days, you did that all the time. You left the kids home. It's no big deal. This is the 60s. Kids, yep. 11 years old. You know, she would literally call the neighbor across the street if they were going to leave me and say, "Hey, Joanne, you know, Bob and I are going to the grocery store. If David needs anything, can he come knock on your door?" Kind of a thing, right? Yeah, sure, of course. You know, come have him come over now. Fix him a fried bologna sandwich, man, you know?
Yeah.
So they left, and I knew where the booze was, and I wanted to know what the hell this stuff was because I've got no reference for it. And they were hiding it in plain sight. So I went over. They left. I went over. I took a coffee cup, Donald. I poured it half full, and boom, down it went, 11 years old.
Yeah.
Well, it was like pouring rocket fuel into me.
Yeah.
I never had a chance. I believe absolutely I was an alcoholic on the spot.
Yeah.
Because I started thinking alcoholically and acting out alcoholically. I had all the behavior of an alcoholic at 11 years old. And of course, what happens with that? You got bad shit going on at home. You got alcohol to rely on. It becomes your best friend. And so you keep drinking, you keep drinking. And by the time I was a junior in high school, they pulled me into the principal's office one day and said, "Alvin, out. We're done with you. You're dangerous." So I'm like, "Cool, great, no problem." I didn't care. I was already an entrepreneur by that time. I didn't think there was anything I was going to miss out on. And I certainly didn't think that something I didn't learn to get kicked out of high school was going to affect me in terms of making a living.
Right.
There was a song back then, and the lyrics were by Paul Simon of Simon and Garfunkel. And the lyric was, "When I think back to all the crap I learned in high school, it's a wonder I can think at all." That was like my theme song, bro. Right? So, right? Yeah. So it just progressed. You know, I married my childhood sweetheart. That lasted about 2 weeks. We couldn't stand each other. I married another wonderful human being who got me out of California. She got me to the East Coast and got me away from the drug dealers and people that were out there. They weren't real happy with me. I'll just leave it at that. And then, you know, that didn't last. And then I married a bartender. She had three kids. And so on June 8th, 1988, when I woke up that morning, bear in mind, I'm living in the basement. They're living upstairs, right? Mm-hmm. And because they didn't want to be around me when I was drinking. And rightfully so. I was a car wreck, man. And so I don't know what it was about that morning, man, but I said, "That's it. We're done. I'm not doing this." I mean, I was in so much physical and emotional pain in that moment that I was like, "No, I can't do what I can't do this anymore. I'm not going to wake up tomorrow and be like this." So the first thought I had in that moment was take your life. And so as I'm preparing to do that, you know, I grew up in a military family. I had some experience with weapons, mm-hmm. and so I loaded my pistol and I was contemplating, you know, putting a bullet in my head. As I'm thinking this through, it dawns on me, whoa, wait a damn minute. If you do that and you pull that trigger, let me tell you what else is going to happen. Those kids upstairs and their mom that you love, you're going to kill them.
Yeah.
You can't do that, man. You've got to come up with another solution. And so as I'm fighting with that, the next thing I had, the thought is call Alcoholics Anonymous. Well, what's interesting about that moment, Donald, is I didn't know who the hell AA was.
Yeah.
I didn't know anybody in AA. I'd never been to AA. I don't even know what that means, but there it was. So I called and I got this wonderful human being on the other end of the phone. And to this day, I've nicknamed her Madge because I don't remember her name, but I nicknamed her Madge because she talked like this. She probably smoked 2 packs of Pall Mall non-filters a day. And bro, she was a badass. She was in my face. And rightfully so, she's a gatekeeper. So it's her job to interview you. And if you say the right thing, she would call a guy in AA and they would come get you and take you to a meeting. So that's what happened. So this guy named Lauren came and got me and took me to my first AA meeting, an all men's group in Fairfax, Virginia. And I went to 4 meetings my first day. And when I was there, they gave me this little interesting little chip right here, right? Mm-hmm. And it said 24 hours on it. Well, then they gave me another one for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, and 1 year. And I picked one up every year since. In 2003, I picked up one for 35 years. So here in a couple of months.
That's awesome.
Thank you. As long as I don't drink and I don't die in June, I'll pick up another one. for 36. So when I got sober, I had insomnia. Mm-hmm. My sleep patterns were all over the place. And yep. I'm up late one night, 3 o'clock in the morning, and there he is, a young, vibrant, enthusiastic Tony Robbins is on the airways, man. He owned the infomercial world back in those days, man. He was, Gunther Ranker had him going hot and heavy. So he was promoting a program called Personal Power, and it was a 30-day program for total success. And what you did is when you ordered it, they sent you a big box, and it came on little white things called cassette tapes.
Yeah.
If some of your audience don't know about those, you can see them. They're in the Smithsonian. They're right next to 8 tracks and reel to reel.
We'll post a media link for all the millennials.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. So, I plugged them in and I went through the program and it worked. I listened to the man and I did what the man taught me to do. What a concept. And so that got me into the personal development industry. So I'm going to AA every day. I'm doing what the program's telling me to do. And one of my buddies in AA borrowed my program. We got to talking one day and I said, hey, man, this is what I'm doing. Check it out. So he did. Well, 7 years later, right, this was all going down in 88. I got sober in June of 88. In 1995, my buddy Dan that I loaned the program to called me on the phone. And he said, hey, Albie, did you know that Tony Robbins is coming to town? I'm like, no, I had no idea. He goes, hey, dude, come on. You got me into this. You got to go with me. And I said, well, let's look at the dates. Okay, cool. I'm in. Let's go. And he goes, great. Let me call you back. I'll make all the arrangements. Well, he calls me back an hour later. He goes, done. We pick up the tickets at will call. Here's what they told us to do. Number one, drink a lot of water. You've got to stay hydrated. Very important. It's a 4-day event. Number two, bring snacks all 4 days. And I laughed because they went on to say, because you're going to spend a lot of time in the room. Anybody that's ever been to a Tony Robbins seminar knows why I'm laughing. You're going to spend a lot of time in the room. And then he said, you know, be ready to play full out and bring a good attitude. Okay, got it. How much was the ticket? $695. What? In 1995. I mean, what's that worth today? Like 1.2, 1.3? I mean,
yeah. I came in the military in 94, and my monthly paycheck, my first paycheck in basic training was $780 some odd. To give you an idea of what you paid.
Right. Right. So what, 90 bucks away from your whole paycheck?
Yep.
So anyway, and then just as he's getting ready to get off the phone, he goes, oh, wait. I forgot to tell you the most important part. We're going to be doing a fire walk. Now, I have no idea what that means.
Yeah.
I don't know what it means, but here's what my brain is going. Hell no. The word fire and walk in the same sentence didn't sound like anything I'd wanted to do. And for the most part, Donald, at that point in my life, fear had influenced me on everything every decision I'd ever made in life. And this one was no different. So it was a hard no. However, I'm not saying that to my buddy. I don't want him to think I'm wussing out. I just kind of was subservient, right? I'm going along with it. Like, yeah, Dan, sure. Yeah, fire walk. Yeah, sounds interesting. All right, bro, see you then. Well, the big day comes. We get there. We get in our seats at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And the next thing we realize, it's after midnight, 10 hours in a room with Tony Robbins. Remember, bring snacks or you'll starve to death.
Yep.
He wasn't kidding. So the next thing we hear, Tony goes, take your shoes off. And I'm like, oh, no, man. I see where you're going with that. You're not tricking me. I'm not taking my shoes off. Well, I got a problem. I'm sitting next to my buddy. Guess what he's doing?
Taking his shoes off.
Taking his damn shoes off. I'm like, you know, and 3,500 people in this event. Guess what they're doing? They're all taking their damn shoes off too. And I'm like, oh, people, you're falling for it. How stupid can you be?
Yeah.
Well, it gets worse because he takes you from the room out into this huge parking lot where he facilitates the firewalk. And when he gets you going out there, he gets 3,500 people to start chanting and clapping. So you got 3,500 people walking out going, yes, 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 right? I'm walking out there going, no, I ain't doing this shit. Well, it gets worse because when you physically get outside, he's got African drummers.
Oh, wow.
Dun, 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 dun. Yes. Yes. And I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding. Well, my plan is I'm not going to do this firewalk. I've already decided from the moment I heard it to that night, all of it. No, I'm not doing it. Makes no sense to me whatsoever. I'm not doing it. So my plan is I'm going to ditch Dan. I'm going to lose him. And then I'll just go stand in the back and hide, which is, you know, pretty good strategy, or so I thought.
Yeah.
And so I did that. Well, how do you facilitate? How do you firewalk 3,500 people? Well, you start off with a big ass fire and you start burning it around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then it burns all night. And then at the end of the night, it renders. And they just stack cord after cord after cord after cord of wood on this big giant fire. They got a pit that's probably 35 feet wide. Donald, I don't know, maybe 70 feet long. And at the end of the night, when it renders, it's this giant pile of blue coals. It is gorgeous. So what they do is they take a wheelbarrow over there and they load the coals in a wheelbarrow. Then they take the wheelbarrow and they pull it back and they put it in between two lanes of sod, of grass, which is, you know, 3 feet wide, 18 feet long. And then they just take a flathead shovel, man, and they sprinkle those coals on top and then they smash them down. And that's what you walk on. Well, I'm in the back, right? I got it all figured out. I'm hiding out. I ain't doing this damn firewalk. Well, Tony Robbins knows that the firewalk is probably, without a doubt, one of the most incredible experiences any human's ever going to go through. He studied it. He knows it's been around for 1,000 years. Yeah. Cultures all over the world have been using firewalking for a whole host of reasons. Everything from a graduation to a boy stepping into manhood, a girl stepping into womanhood, a marriage, the birth of children, rites of passage, ceremonial, all kinds of stuff, right? The Phoenicians, the people of India, the Polynesians, the Hawaiians, the Native American Indians, the people of Portugal, the Spaniards, Indo-European. The Indo-European warriors, the night before they would go into battle, the women would build the fire and lay it all out. And then the men would, and they'd do it and bless it. And then the men would walk. Right. So it's, again, Tony did his research. He knew it was the most powerful experience he could create. He also knows there's people like me and he knows where we are. So what's he do? He trains people to come find you. So there I am, I'm all on the back, got it all figured out, right? No, I don't. Here comes this guy out of nowhere. I'm pretty sure Tony trains him. Look, when you make eye contact with these cowards, make sure you don't take your eyes off them. So I'm back there. Here comes this guy, man. He locks eyes with me. He walks up to me maybe 20 feet from me, and he looks at me really funny, like a dog that hears a funny noise, right? He's kind of twisting his head. And he's like pointing at me, and he's like, hey, man, are you okay? And of course I'm not, but I'm going to lie about it, right? When we're not okay, what do we say? I'm fine.
I'm good.
All good here, man. Yep. Nothing to see. Move along. And all of a sudden this guy, he goes right for the kill shot, right? He goes, hey man, you going to walk tonight? And I'm like, absolutely not. And I said it to him, you know, like back off, man. And he's like, hey man, that's cool. No problem. You know, we don't want you to do anything you don't want to do. And I went, oh, okay, he's going to get me out of here. No, he's not. He's setting me up. Because the next question he asked me, and by the way, I don't know who this guy is to this day. This guy changed my life. And he put me in a position to change tens of thousands of other people's lives. Because the question he asked was, wouldn't you at least like to watch? And I'm like, well, yeah, sure. No problem there, right? What's the worst? Yeah, sure. Let's go watch these people burn their feet off. This should be funny. Interesting, right? And he said, and he goes, right? He knew. He goes, hey, man, listen, you can't see anything from back here. You're 100 yards away. He said, look, just get in line. Follow those people.
Right? Yeah.
He got me. I took the bait. And he says, eventually you'll get up there and you'll be able to see it. Because remember, guys, I got 3,500 people standing in front of me. I can't see a thing. Yeah. Oh, I can hear it. I can see the big fire over here in the corner still going. You know, people are clapping and chanting and the drums are going and then people are already walking. And when they get to the celebration end after they finished, they're jumping up and down and screaming and they're celebrating like kids at Christmas. I mean, it's a dog and pony show, man. It's intense. I've never seen or been around anything like this other than a Tony Robbins firewalk seminar, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, I get in line and I'm kind of walking along, and all of a sudden another stranger comes up to me and he whispers in my ear and he goes, he knows when you're ready. When he says go, you go. And pew, this guy just disappeared into the night. And I'm like, what? What do you mean? What do you mean he knows when you're ready? When he says go, you go, right? So I'm like freaked out over that. So then I'm just, you know, kind of walking along. And I finally get to a place. I can't see in front of me, but I can see at an angle, right? And they're doing it, bro. Every race, every creed, every color, they're firewalking. And my brain is going, you got to be kidding me. Why are they doing this? What possible reason, rationalization could they have for this? We're mammals, man. We're taught to run from fire, not walk on it.
Yeah.
And so I'm mesmerized. I can't take my eyes off it. Kind of like a car wreck, right? You're not going to look at it. Yeah, right. And so I'm staring at it and I'm not really paying attention in front of me. And the next thing I know, boom, guess where I am?
Right in front of it.
Front of the line. With the idea, like, how the hell did you get here? And I'm looking down at that lane, that fire lane, right? And again, it's 3 feet wide, 18 feet long. The coals are on top. They're glowing bright red. There's a wheelbarrow there. You can feel the heat coming off. And my heart is beating so hard, I know it's going to jump out of my chest any second. Well, there's a trainer standing there. And all of a sudden, the trainer goes, eyes up, like, you idiot. And I pull my eyes up. Well, when I was in the room with Robbins for 10 hours, guess what he teaches you to do? Keep your eyes up. Don't stare at what you fear. Look to the celebration there. And right over there on the other side of your comfort zone, that's where you want to focus. And so now my eyes are up and he goes, squeeze your fist and say yes. And I went, yes. And he went, stronger. And I went, yes. Well, he's a trainer, man. He could tell. Was I all in? Nope. Was I leaving a lot on the table? Yep. And he knew it. So what's he do? He gets in my face and screams at me, stronger. I threw my hands in the air and said, yes. And he goes, go, go, go. Woo. I took off. Remember the guy? He knows when you're ready. When he says go, you go. I did.
Yeah.
Well, here's the first thing I learned about firewalking. When you take the first step, oh, you'll take the second, third, fourth, and fifth. I promise you. You are not going to stop, right? Well, Tony positions two guys at the end to catch you, right? Because, hell, I'd have walked all the way to Albuquerque at that point. So they stop you, and they're like, stop, wipe your feet and celebrate. And I'm wiping my feet, and I'm celebrating, and I'm looking back, and I'm realizing that I just walked on coals that are 1,000 degrees. And at first, I thought I burnt myself. I did. I looked at my feet. They're dirty. No burns. Nothing. And so literally in that moment, it's one of the most magnificent, it's extraordinary. Because in that moment, you think you can do anything. And you're in an area with 3,000 other people who are all pretty much feeling the same thing, right? So your self-worth, your self-confidence, your self-belief all elevate together collectively, right? So there's an energy with all of that. Well, here's where it gets interesting. The next day. Right. This is a 4-day event. This was day one that night. Now we're in day two. So 3,500 people are all now standing in the foyer getting ready to go into the venue. And we all experience what I kind of relate, what I kind of say is almost like a near-death experience the night before. So what that creates when you come in the next morning is camaraderie.
Yep.
It's just there. And I'm watching people and I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Look at this. People are hugging. They're laughing. I saw a couple of people crying. You know, they're sharing their stories. They're talking about the firewalk. It's beautiful. I mean, people were getting along humanistically like the way we're supposed to.
Operation Encore is a nonprofit collaboration of singer-songwriters and musicians from across the veteran and military communities. Our organization focuses on two primary goals. First, Operation Encore provides opportunities and talent development for selected artists aspiring to take their music to a professional level. Second, we provide a unique service to the public, helping to bridge the gap between reality and public perception of veterans through the powerful medium of original music. We seek out talent from across the military and veteran communities, and offer selected artists unique opportunities, including professional networking, education and training, live performances, marketing, advertising, talent development, studio time, distribution of music, and much more. We named this project Operation Encore to emphasize that life following military service is limitless. Veterans can go back to school, start new careers, open businesses, run for public office, and even become rock stars. Music is a powerful medium, and the music we make is genuine.
Yeah.
Beautiful thing. Well, later, and I'm like, so did we drink the Kool-Aid last night? Well, yeah, we sure did.
Yep.
Well, later in the event, I met one of Tony's trainers, a guy by the name of Ted Macy. Super sweet guy, an amazing dude. Him and his wife, Mary, are amazing. And so I'm talking to Ted. And I said, so, Ted, what's it like being in this environment on a regular basis? He goes, dude, are you kidding me? And I'll tell you what, man. He goes, you want to get into this environment if you can and be around it because it'll rub off on you. And he goes, matter of fact, you see those people standing over there with the black shirts and the pink writing on the back? Yeah. He goes, dude, guess what? They're volunteers. They're just like you. They were here probably at the last event. So all you got to do, if you want to get in this environment, just do this. When you go home, call Robbins Research and ask them to send you a volunteer crew application. Okay. I did. Like 9 weeks after I did that, Donald, I got a letter in the mail that said, Dave Alvin, congratulations. You've been selected to crew with the Anthony Robbins Company. Well, color my ass happy. Right? There I am, man. And that was it. That my foot was in the door. I crewed a half a dozen times, and then they saw a lot of value that I could bring to the table. Number one, I had a military background. Number two, I had a security background. So they decided to put me on the security detail to help take care of Tony's celebrities, which was off the chain. I could do a podcast with you on just that alone. All the celebrities. A lot of fun. And because I lived on a farm and I knew how to use tools, right? I knew what a log splitter is. I know what a hatchet is. I know what kindling is. I know the difference between hickory and oak and hardwood, right? So they put me on the fire building team. And I crewed, like I said, about a half a dozen times. And then they offered me a job as a subcontractor. And so I was paying my way up until that point, which my wife at the time did not like. Well, yeah, I don't blame her. I'm spending $1,500 to, she's like, who the hell is Tony Robbins? Right. Cause she didn't have any references. She didn't know anything about Tony, bless her heart. And so when they hired me as a subcontractor, they gave me a free ticket. Smart. Right. And yep. I brought her. And so she went, and after she graduated on day four, we were walking on the beach and she, you know, she looked at me, she goes, okay, I get it. I drank the Kool-Aid. This dude's freaking off the chain. Awesome. If you want to go hang with this guy on a regular basis, go ahead. Which turned out to be really good for her and my kids, because that was all going on in 95 or 96. In 2003, Robbins offered me the captain's position. Well, what does that mean? That meant that I was in charge of all of Tony's firewalks globally. And because wow. I homeschooled my kids, he paid for my family to travel with us.
Wow.
So there are my daughter, six, my son's nine, my wife. We're on the road with Tony Robbins. You know, I mean, are you kidding me? In fact, like their first event was Sydney, Australia. That's how we started.
Wow.
You know, we went to Hawaii and we went, you know, London, we went to Europe, we went all over America, all over Canada. I mean, it was absolutely spectacular. So that happened in 2003. In 2005, we set a world record. We went to London, to the Docklands, out at the Excel Center, and we literally firewalked 12,300 people. Now, when I say world record, let me clarify something. I want your audience to know Guinness Book was not there. However, that was the biggest firewalk that's ever been done in our planet's history.
Yeah.
Right. And the only firewalk that's ever come close to that's another Robbins event at 10,000 or 9,000, whatever. So that happened in 05. Well, to move this forward, in 2014, I'm driving down the road. My phone rings and it's a company called Google. And they asked me, Google calls me, right? 2014. Yep. So they're like, so are you the Dave Alvin that does the firewalks for Tony Robbins? Yes. What can I do for you? Well, if you're not under any contractual obligation or non-compete, we'd like to talk to you about hiring you. And I'm like, well, homeboy's a free agent. What you got? And so that's when the light bulb went off. In fact, one of the executives at Google set me down and said, do you know what kind of a position you're in right now? Do you realize if you start your own company that corporate America will eat you alive? because you're a guy that can create a paradigm shift. You can take a team of people that aren't getting along and make them get along. And so, you know, corporate America is looking for extraordinary corporate team building experiences. So you may want to think about starting your own business. Well, if Google tells you to start your own business, maybe you should listen to them.
Probably should.
Probably should. Oh, and I did. So Firewalk Productions was born in 2014. Well, they were right because I did two gigs for Google. Shortly after that, I was at NASA and then Notre Dame and then Virginia Tech and then RE/MAX and Microsoft and Heineken and the EO organization, the Entrepreneurs Organization. Hell, the next thing I know, I'm with Donald Dunn on his podcast, man. So, right? So you don't know, right? So that's how that all went down. And you know, pun intended, we've been going hot and heavy ever since. Well, a couple of months ago, I'm on a podcast and I do the interview. And then after the interview, we're talking sidebar. And the host said, so David, let me ask you something. Have you ever done a firewalk for veterans? And I mean, I said, like, you mean specifically for just vets? And she said, yeah. And I go, no, why? And she goes, dude, we got 200 vets. And, you know, you may know that the suicide rate with veterans is really high. Yeah. It's like, I said, yeah, it's like 22 a day, right? She goes, no, it's not even close. That's if they leave a note.
Yeah.
But 70% of them don't leave a note. So we have an epidemic in this country of probably 40 to 50 a day. Men and women are taking their own life. Well, I'm a vet. All right. I grew up in the Vietnam era. My dad was a highly decorated officer in World War II, career military, career officer. You know, I'm surrounded by vets in my family and my friends. So I was like, okay, Dave, dude, it's on you. Can you create a life-changing, life-saving experience? You're damn right I can. So what are you going to do? So I told her, I said, look, can you give me a couple of days to think about it so I can get this, you know, ironed out of my head? And she said, yeah, of course. So that night I went to bed, man. And I woke up in the middle of the night. It was as clear as a bell. Operation Do No Harm. And so we've scheduled our first event. I'm really just jazzed, totally stoked that this is going to go down. One of my other podcasting hosts, Ed Paracott, who is the president of the Rotary in Modesto, he interviewed me and he said, dude, can we bring this to Modesto? He goes, we'll pay for it. We'll pay you. We'll hire you to come. And so they did. So we're going to do it on April 12th and April 13th in Modesto. And then we've had a couple of big corporate sponsors who've stepped up. C3 Insurance out of San Diego is coming and they're bringing a production team. They're going to film it. Yeah, they want to document it. They want to create some stuff for our website so that, you know, we can promote it next year. They're going to make reels and stuff for all our social media. You know, they're spending a fortune. And the CEO is actually coming. Jamie is coming personally to this event. He's actually going to stay in my Airbnb. And then we have the American Weed Company, right? They're growing a strand, a peptide strand, specifically for veterans to help with the PTSD and the suicide and the depression and all of that. So we're real excited about them coming. And then there's a couple others that are kind of going to help out as well. So, yeah, man, that's where we are.
Man. Well, let me back up a little bit because I got a bunch of questions, right? So first of all, right, I have done a little bit of research and I've seen, you are absolutely right. This goes all the way back, like documented all the way up to like 1200 BC.
Yes.
That people have been doing this. And I get the confidence boost that you get from it, but how does it change? How is it just the fact of the confidence side in it from you doing it? Or is there something else? Cause I know, like in my book, one of the things I talked about was as I was depressed, you know, I started getting a lot of tattoos. And the thing I didn't realize at the time so much, the reason why I kept going back and I got one arm done, then the other arm done, was because when it was done and over with, I finally felt something. I wasn't hollow anymore. The pain was there. It was real. And I was happy about it because I could feel it.
Right.
So how does firewalking work to help somebody? How does it build this camaraderie and team?
Well, I think that, you know, the simple answer to it is what doesn't challenge you doesn't change you.
Correct.
Does a Navy SEAL become a Navy SEAL by sitting in a classroom?
No. One of the toughest forces in the world.
Right. So where do they become SEALs? Oh, when they take their happy ass during Hell Week out into the ocean off the coast of San Onofre and dump them in at 3 o'clock in the morning. And then they remind them just before they get in of the 9 different types of killer sharks that are swimming in the waters with them.
Yes, they do.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate that shit, man. Thanks for letting me know that. Well, it's true. It absolutely is. And that's why culturally around the world, it's been 1,000 years. And by the way, I'm really impressed, bro. I've never had anybody really go research it and bring out that, you know, that it's over 1,000 years old. So kudos to you for that, man. Thank you for that. And your question was very powerful. Because the bottom line is that I've seen people's life change in 4 seconds.
Yeah.
Because I look at their face, man, when they're standing there looking down at those coals, and their face is like, you got to be kidding me.
Yep.
Those are 1,000 degrees. That's hot. And you want me to walk over the top of it. Is that what you're asking me to do? So, you know, your body and your mind at the same time is going, dude, you're supposed to run now. This is the time where you go, no, get the hell out of here. And then there's this moment of reckoning. And that's what builds the character. It's that moment when you said, oh, my God, no, I'm not doing this. Yes, I am. What's the worst that can happen?
Yep.
If you go Google Oprah's firewalk, you'll see it.
So that does make perfect sense now that the way you just put it, because now I'm relating it. You kind of get that same idea from going airborne, you know?
Right. Yeah. Everything's
sitting
there looking at it. Yeah. You're sitting there looking at it. They're glowing bright red. You know that you can get the hell burn out of yourself.
Yeah.
And then again, it's that moment, but what's the worst that can happen? He tells that Tony says it to Oprah when she's walking, she's freaking out.
Yeah.
She's there going to do her firewalk. And I'll tell you, man, she's losing her shit. It's beautiful. And then all of a sudden, again, there's this moment of reckoning. And Tony says, Oprah, what's the worst that can happen? Burn your feet off and die? Come on. I'm not going to let you get hurt. So she walks. And when she gets to the celebration end, she, again, loses her shit like a little kid. She's jumping up and down, and she's screaming, and she's celebrating. And by the way, that's very common when people do this. Well, the cameras follow her. And she comes over, and the camera goes to her, and she's going, well, let me just tell you, this is the next chapter, people. That's what this is right here. This is the next chapter. Well, that's when she created the next chapter with Harpo. She literally makes one of the biggest business decisions of her life right there in that incredible state of mind that she was in that moment.
Wow.
So, you know, it's there. It's just, it's an incredible life-changing experience, and you can, it creates the paradigm shift. Because if I can walk on coals that are 1,000 degrees, what else can I do? You know, when I do my seminars, when I'm on stage, behind me, I've got a picture of a guy standing in a location, and I'll talk for 20 minutes and 20, 25 minutes. And I'll say, hey, by the way, who here can tell me where my friend Eric is standing? And you can kind of tell. Somebody will yell from the back, Mount Everest. And I'll say, that's correct. Now, let me tell you something about Eric. That dude right there has climbed the 7 highest mountains on this planet on 7 different continents. And he's reached the summit of all 7. Put him on a mountain bike, he'll tear it up. Put him in a kayak, watch him go down the river. But here's what you don't know about Eric. He's blind.
Holy shit.
So I don't want to hear your shit. Shut the hell up. If a man's blind who can climb the 7 highest mountains on earth, then what are you not accomplishing? Because you're lying to yourself and making up some bullshit story why you can't do it.
Yeah.
A lot of times that's where I go into and I'll ask the audience. So why don't people get what they want in life? And you know, right? Yeah, I get a lot of good answers. I don't have the time. I don't have the money. Let me back up. I don't have the time. It's one of the biggest lies you'll ever tell yourself.
Yep.
Don't ever say that. You have the time for anything you're committed to, period. That's how it works.
You just have to put
it. You don't understand how time works. What's that?
You just have to put it as a priority.
Yeah, exactly. Or go study Einstein time. It's pretty interesting. So I don't have the time. I don't have the money. I don't have the education. I don't have the background. I don't have the resources. You know, I'm a poor white boy from the Bronx. I'm a poor Hispanic boy from the Bronx. I'm a poor black boy from the Bronx. Look, the bottom line I tell people all the time, you want to change your life? Change your damn story.
Yeah.
Bottom line is what you tell yourself is correct. Henry Ford said it, right? Think you can, think you can't. You're right.
Yep.
Viktor Frankl, though, left us the greatest inspirational, motivational, encouraging information, I think, in his book, Man's Search for Meaning. Now, I'm going to warn you, this is not an easy book to read. Number one, because he was in Auschwitz. And you'll read that he got his, you know, that wasn't a fun time.
Right.
Right. Can you imagine waking up every day with a bunch of other people? Basically, you're naked. You're not eating. You're outside. It's cold. You don't have a bed to sleep on other than a piece of wood. And every single moment of your life is now, the thought is, will this be my last day, my last moment? Am I going to the chamber? Yeah. They could hear the screams. They knew what was going on. They killed his family, and they took everything from that man. Everything except one thing. Victor figured out there's one thing you can't take from me, and that's my attitude. I have to relinquish that.
Yeah.
I have to give that up. And he said, and this comes down, let me circle back to something here. And because what he realized was, he said, someone has to get out of here and tell this story, which is another fancy name for purpose.
Yeah.
So why does a vet take their life? They come home, they lose purpose.
Yep.
When you're over there, you're moving as a unit. Everything you do is to keep each other alive. And you see nasty stuff. And they all know it's coming one day. You got to go home.
Yep.
And some of them dread it. It scares them to death. It's worse coming home sometimes. There's more fear coming home than there is going over.
Yeah.
And then they get fragmented. They get shredded. They get, you know, they come home and now they don't have access to all those brothers and sisters that they lived in and died with. And so their purpose starts to drop. Depression sets in. And then they reach for something to deal with it.
Yep.
Some type of alcohol or drug. Next thing you know, we lose them. So I looked at it and said, all right, Dave, what do we have to do here? You've been in the personal development industry for 3 decades, almost 4. What are we going to do? And I went, yeah, we need to reestablish their purpose. That'll save their life. Why do you give a vet a service dog? They have to take care of the dog.
Yeah. And they got partnership. Now there's camaraderie again, you know? And I can speak about that because I did probably the worst thing so there's a lot that you just said. And one of the things that you lose when you get out, and this is, I'm a firm believer why transitioning from the military is the most dangerous time. Those first 2 years that you get out, that's the most dangerous time for a vet. And it's because they're already torn up. The depression didn't happen when they left. It was there before they left. I can speak for that. But now you've lost purpose. And the day you walk away, you've lost your identity because you are no longer somebody. You're now a number trying to get a job with corporate America or another company, and you're at the bottom of that pole. What you did in the over there no longer matters. And that was your whole identity.
And many of them think nobody gives a shit.
Correct. And then what I did is I started a trucking company. I couldn't find a job. And I started a trucking company, did it for 6 years. And I will tell you, that's probably where a lot of soldiers put themselves, but it is probably the worst place to put yourself. I spent 6 weeks at a time driving 11 hours a day and sleeping 10 hours in a truck.
Yeah.
You know, depression set in. I had nothing but time to get in my head. And that's exactly what the demons want you to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when I got my dog, not a service dog, by the way, but just that companionship, man, it helped.
Yeah.
So I'm a big believer in it.
My boy's laying right here. Yep. German Shepherd, right? He won't leave my side. So what else am I going to do? All right. So we're going to create Operation Do No Harm. And so I'm going to bring them in and I'm going to reestablish their purpose. Mm-hmm. The one thing I'm going to do is I go into firewalking and how it's been around for 1,000 years and how it's been used. I'm going to tell them tonight, you have an opportunity to do this. However, if you're going to do it, you have to take an oath. You're going to have to promise to do no harm. And we're going to give you a medallion that's going to have that oath and that creed on it. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that coin. I want you to put it in your hand and I want you to squeeze it as hard as you can and feel that pain. Well, I got news for you. That's just a little tiny itsy bitsy amount of pain that your friends or family are going to suffer if you take your own life. So just remember, man, if you decide to do that, you're killing everybody around you.
Yeah.
How about we do this instead? How about we create Operation Do No Harm? I need your help, gentlemen, ladies. Come help us. Be part of this. Help us recruit for next year. Let's get them into this environment. I went to my friends over at the Zippo Lighter Company. By the way, if you're going to do a firewalk, you got to light it with something, right?
Yep, absolutely.
So they're making us a lighter. I called them and I said, hey, this is what we're doing, Operation Do No Harm. Because they've been making me a lighter with my logo on it. And they're gorgeous, man. I got my flaming feet on it. They're so beautiful. And so I talked to them and I said, hey, would you guys be interested? And they were like, oh, hell yes. Of course. Because they're really big into vets, you know, helping and first responders and stuff as well. So we sat down. They invited me to Bradford and I went up there for 2 days. And they actually took me on a tour of the entire facility. They don't do that. They have a huge museum in Bradford. You can go there, but they don't take you on a tour. I got to go on a tour. So it was, oh man. And so, you know, and why I love Zippo on many levels is that during World War II, Zippo made a lighter. And here's what it looked like. And if you can, it's a 1941 replica of the lighters that they gave our GIs. They gave them away to our military guys who went to Europe. And I know this because my dad had one. And it sat on his dresser on a plate until the day he died. And he talked to me about that. And what they learned is that when Zippo did that, they didn't realize that when a GI would reach in their pocket and touch that lighter, it reminded them of something from home.
Makes sense.
Interesting. Right? Yeah, absolutely. So anyway, so we went to them. They're making one. In fact, what we're going to do, we're going to take the 1941 replica. We're going to powder coat it. And they're going to laser in there Operation Do No Harm. So we're going to give a lighter. Who doesn't love a Zippo?
I mean, yeah.
Come on, man. You know, everybody does. Men and women, young, old, all of them. And, you know, you've seen them in 1,000 times in movies. All, you know, they're there. Yeah. So anyway, so that's happening. We're going to have the medallion. The other thing we're going to do, and if I could share, I'll share just briefly. So I'm also going to include the board break. This is a simple martial arts move. They do it in every dojo in America. So when you graduate in belts, you know, you break a board with your bare hands or you use your foot or your elbow, or your knee, whatever. And so I'm going to take the board and I'm going to take them through an exercise. And they're going to write something on front of the board they want to move towards. I'm going to have them write something on back of the board that they need to move away from. And then I'm going to have them write anybody's name on the board that they're in conflict. And to create the rite of passage and to build the purpose, I'm going to have them write anybody's name on the board that they've lost. And so we'll take them outside. We'll have board break stations. Boom! They'll break the board. Then we'll circle them. We'll bring them back. They'll throw their board into the fire. And then they'll firewalk. We'll get all that on video so they have it. And then I'm going to put them in a circle. And this is super, super powerful. We're going to do a couple things. One is there's a company called doTERRA. And they make essential oils. They're out of Salt Lake. And so doTERRA made a blend for me. And what I'm holding up right here is a blend of 4 different essential oils. And it is ungodly beautiful. The scent is incredible. So we're going to literally have them smell that during the time that they're in a peak state. And then that way, when they get a vial of it, they'll be able to smell that and it'll take them right back to the moment of the firewalk and put them right back in that peak state, right? We all know how that works.
Yep.
Right. You smell something. You go, oh, that reminds me of my grandmother's house. No kidding. And it will always remind you of your grandmother's home. Same thing with this. It'll always remind them of their firewalk. And then I put them in a circle, Donald. And what we do from there is I have them look across the circle and I say, find someone that you don't know and make eye contact with them. Now, don't remove eye contact. Now, I want you to walk over there and stand 3 feet in front of each other. And then once they get there, then what I do is I put them in what's called the heart hug. So instead of hugging like we normally do, we hug the opposite way. So we put our heart on top of that person that you're hugging's heart. And then I have them close their eyes and I have them take 3 deep diaphragmic breaths. And when they take the deep breath, I tell them to hold it, hold it, hold it, hold it, exhale. Then when they go into that second breath, here's the magic that happens. And you probably know this is coming. Their hearts calibrate. They start beating at the same time. So I do that 6 times with the whole group. And next thing I know, I've got the entire group's hearts beating at the same time.
Wow.
Off the chain. And then we're going to take them back inside. And, you know, there's going to be things like food. And we're looking for other, you know, I'm bringing in really powerful speakers, people that are vets or first responders. And I know a ton of them out there.
Yeah.
I'm working on as we get big and this thing goes viral, I want to put a guy like Gary Sinise, right? I'd love to put him on stage and let him talk. If you guys don't know who Gary Sinise is, he played Lieutenant Dan in Forrest Gump.
Yep.
So that's Lieutenant Dan, right? He's dedicated his whole life to veterans and first responders. Talk about a sweet dude, man. Talk about an amazing, amazing human being. So, you know, and as we build it, Donald, the bottom line is, you know, we need all the help we can get. So basically, you know, the beauty is that now corporate America, let's say you're a company and let's say you're in Cleveland and let's say you would like to, you know, you donate money every year to a nonprofit, right? You sponsor people. So now they can get a hold of Operation Do No Harm. They can make a donation. And then what happens is Firewalk Productions comes in and we do everything for that event for them. So when XYZ Corporation sponsors us, we do all the heavy lifting, we do everything, and they get all the credit. So not only do they look really good to their community where they're located, but when they bring in their employees, how good is that going to make their employees feel? It creates a golden handcuff because it's like, look, we just saved 300 veterans' lives. And so you do that on a Saturday. Guess what happens to the morale of the company on Monday morning? What do you think it does? It's like, look what we did, man. My company, we just put on this event. And you know, and so again, it's just, it's such a win-win-win for the corporate sponsor. And so that's, you know, I've gone from corporate America hiring me to come in and put on the event for them because of whatever's going on in their company. Maybe they're launching a new product or maybe there's a bunch of dissension, whatever it is. We'll still do that. But now I'm being able to go to corporate America and say, hey, how'd you like to create one of the most spectacular life-saving experiences in America? Well, write a check and we'll come do it.
Yep. That is awesome. I know everybody is probably wondering what this looks like. I want to show that video. I know we're getting into the top of the hour, but I want to show everybody this video that is on Dave's website. It's been running down here, so you guys can see it down there as well. But let's take a second and watch this. Have you ever wondered how you can help out the show? Well, that is very simple. You can help us out by going to www.twodrunkdudesinagunroom.com. That is www.twodrunkdudesinagunroom.com. There's many ways you can help us by listening to the show, supporting the show, liking, sharing, and everything else that comes along with social media. But one of our biggest goals is to help build the nonprofit Heroes Voice Media Foundation. This is a foundation that has decided to start celebrating courage and amplifying heroes. Find your voice with Heroes Voice Media Foundation.
of those kids busting that board.
Three, two, one, yes!
Wow. Even, look at all those smiles, man. You can just like you said, man, you can see it in their face as they're walking down that aisle. The uncertainty just kind of disappears, man.
Well, and the beauty of that is they also capture the kids.
Yeah.
You know, I get asked all the time. So Dave, hey, we got kids, you know, can they? Yeah, of course they can. In fact, what's great about kids, they don't have the bullshit limiting beliefs that adults do.
Yeah, it hasn't been ingrained in them yet.
Yep. Yeah, right. Exactly. In fact, I was at, you know, my kids, my daughter was 6 years old. My son was 9 years old the first time they walked. And, you know, that I'll tell you right now, you take a kid because, again, let's go back to the four categories. We got vets. We got first responders. We got single moms. And we got kids that have been abused. Yep. Imagine sponsoring a group of kids and you give them to me and let me take them through the board break experience, right? They're going to break a board with their bare hand, which is incredible for their sort of self-worth, right?
Yep.
And, but then they throw it into the fire because they wrote some stuff on the board, like who they want to become, whatever that is, right? The astronaut, whatever. And then you firewalk them. You think that's going to affect them? Yeah. Even though they may have been badly abused and all that? Because the great news is I get to tell them the truth. The truth is you get to decide. You know, every single thing that happens in our life, I don't care what it is, how good it is or bad it is, we create a story about it. And we're the architect of that story. So I tell people all the time, you want to change your life? Change your damn story. Write a good one. Just because something bad happens to you, you don't have, it doesn't, you know, because you know something I learned a long time ago, Donald, in terms of being in front of people and all that? People could give a, could care less about how successful you are. They just don't care. They don't give a shit. You know what they care about? Your struggles and how you overcame them. That's got value to it because we all have them. So what do you want to learn, right? I was communicating with a really good friend of mine this morning. He's facing a couple of challenges, and he's an incredible – he played pro football and he, you know, got a Super Bowl ring, you know. And so I was kind of in his face this morning. And that's cool because that's who I am. I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. That doesn't do anybody any good. Tell them the truth, man. If for those who are believe in God and the Bible and things of that nature, what does it say in Scripture? Speak the truth in love, man.
Yep.
And so, again, I'm a guy that just happened to be in the right place at the right time. And this happened and that happened and this happened and now that happened. And then I'm on a podcast and the next thing you know, boom. Now I'm faced, you know, with Operation Do No Harm. And it's, to be candid with you, it's a bit spooky.
Yeah.
This is the responsibility. These men and women are dying over 50 a day.
Yeah.
And so, you know, can we save some of those people? You better believe we can.
Yeah.
All we have to do, give them the opportunity, get them there, get their purpose up, and then get them to recruit and bring other brothers and sisters to the event. So the great news is that we can start doing these in cities all over the country. So if you're out there and you think this resonates with you and you want to do that, let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And you know, you said that's just the way you are, but you're also a veteran. And I've always said that the mom and pop 501c's is what's going to fix this problem. It ain't going to be big government companies. And the reason why I say that is because as veterans, we can understand, we can sympathize, but we can also put our foot in your ass and make you hold yourself accountable. The victim card is not going to work. And when you get in front of a therapist that is getting paid to listen, but not necessarily can fully understand, the only emotion they give you back is sympathy. And all that does is create a victim.
You know where you can find sympathy in the dictionary, don't you?
Between shit and syphilis.
Yes, sir.
My favorite thing.
They don't need sympathy.
No.
They need encouragement. They need to tell someone to tell them, hey, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
I also need to tell you that if you take your own life, you are killing your family.
Yeah.
So step up and you know, break it down, man. One day at a time. And the other thing is that we'll bring in companies and stuff. And I'm telling these companies, look, I want you to hire veterans. You know, for example, I hire a lot of single moms because I was born to a single mom. And you know what? They're some of the hardest working people you'll ever hire.
Yeah.
Because those mothers, failure is not an option. They got to feed the kids. And so I love their spirit. And, you know, and so, yeah, I you know, if you look at my website, people go, man, your website's incredible. Single mom.
Yeah.
Brooke is amazing, man. Brooke Calhoun. And she, that's, you know, awesome. Her information is at the bottom of our website. You want someone to do an incredible job on your website? There she is, right? The gal that comes and takes care of my house, man. She's single mom.
That's awesome.
You know, my daughter was a single mom at one time. So, you know, I get it. I was born to a single mom. So, man, yeah, I'm all in, man, when it comes to this. So,
yeah,
it's going to be exciting to see what companies step up and who wants to, you know, who wants to get themselves out in front of this. I've literally had a couple of visions where we would have a stadium full of people, you know, where you could have several thousand people doing the firewalk. I've already done 12,300, so I got my brain around it. Could I do that times four? Yeah, it's just four separate big firewalks, and all I need is good people and a bunch of wood.
Yeah, yeah,
it's all I need, man, and a place to do it. And the people to help me do it. And that's the beauty. It's why people hire me, man. It's because I've got the resources. I've got the experience. There's a reason Google called me, and I get that. I understand that. I respect that. And I'm very honored by it. They wanted a paradigm shift for 148 of their executives, and they found me.
Yeah. That's so awesome.
Why would Google call me? Why would NASA call me?
They seen you Googling firewalks, man, and they were curious.
Yeah, well, you know, when you're walking an astronaut, and then after the event, they come on stage and they go, you know, I got to tell you, that glass walk experience was as scary as anything I ever did for NASA.
Yeah,
it's beautiful, man. It's hilarious. So anyway, I'm here. I'm 70. I don't know how much longer I'm going to continue to do this. Right now, I can tell you I'm in great shape. Guess how many medications I'm on? Zero.
That is awesome.
Yeah, because I don't do business with big pharma. I'm just, they're not somebody I'm interested in doing business with if I don't have to.
Well, somebody that's got your health at the first front portion, you know, maybe individuals that work there think otherwise, but at the end of the day, it's a business and that's what it's for.
It's profitability. Yep. It's profitability over anything else because that's the way Wall Street has it set up. They're required by law to answer to their shareholders, not their customers.
Correct.
Interesting dynamic. So, you know, right now, Donald, there's a lot of, I got gas in the gas tank, so I'm ready to go and I'm ready to put the pedal to the metal. And again, this first event that we're doing down there in Modesto, I'm super, super grateful to the Sunrise notary there in Modesto and Ed and his whole crew. And, you know, again, C3 Insurance, really grateful to them. Very grateful to the Zippo Lighter Company. And, you know, the American Weed Company. So we're off to a really, really great start. And I see a lot of really cool companies stepping up. I've reached out to Black Rifle Coffee too. I'd love to have those guys. Those guys are, they're nuts, man. Yep. And so if you know anybody that could get us to Black Rifle, we'd love to talk to them and get them involved. And of course their coffee's really good, but their commercials, right? Their commercials are off the chain, man. They're hilarious.
Yeah.
So yeah, I love those guys, man. And they're all veteran owned. So that's the biggie.
Yeah,
Rev, come here.
Well, Dave, I appreciate you. Come on, man.
My pleasure, bro.
I learned so much about this, and I have been curious for quite a while. Enough that I even, like you said, did a little bit of my own research look at it. So yeah, you did. I would love to. I'd love to somehow maybe one day be in an event. So we'll be on the lookout for that.
Where are you?
I am in Rolla, Missouri.
Okay. Well. You know, who knows? Maybe some of your audience listening out there could sponsor an event, and we'll get you there. And love to put you on stage and let you talk and do all that, and share your message. And because you've got a powerful story, and you know, so I can see that happening. We just have to say, okay, we're doing this.
Yeah, absolutely,
It'll manifest.
We will definitely be in contact. I'm going to put you in the green room and throw out my final shots and the exit video, and I'll
hang out.
All right, man. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for having me on, Donald. I appreciate you, man.
Absolutely, man. My pleasure. Wow. You know, you watched that video, and I think that was impressive. I mean, that speaks volumes. You see the people, you see how excited they were. And after speaking with him, I now fully understand where it comes from. And like you said, man, this has actually been a rite of passage for thousands of years that people have done. And we do it every day in different aspects. One of the things that I related it to was going to airborne school. You know, you change, your life changes after you become airborne. Anybody that's in the military can tell you that. And that's why there's that divide between us. And it's all about confidence. So I hope you guys got a lot out of this. I've had his website down there. Go and check it out. Learn a lot more about him and attend his events. If you know somebody that can help and benefit from this, send them to firewalkadventures.com. And who knows, you may be saving somebody's life, just like you said. So I appreciate all of y'all coming out, man. We'll get with y'all next week. As usual, man, don't let the day kick your ass. Kick its ass.